Wow. It's been an amazing week. And can you hold the microphone right? Wow. Can you open communion? That could be a challenge. Can you sing a song? Wow. So I'm just so thankful to be here, my wife and I, and we just love our church. It's a treasure. It's so amazing. And all of the messages, if I had one thing to say about all these messages this week, they were handcrafted for us. Like an architect that knew exactly what was needed, gave it to us through our pastor and those that spoke. And I think that's how it is, isn't it, in the church? Like this church and other churches. But this church got a handcrafted message. And so did the one in Baku, and so did the one in Cyprus, and so did the one, you know what I mean? But it's maybe their message wasn't the same, but here for us, handcrafted. Wow, it's just, to me, it's so amazing to be a part. So I have two things basically to share. One is about treasure, and the other is about traps. And think about it for a minute with me. Turn with me to Luke chapter 21. And we will begin in verse 34. It says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth, of the whole earth." That's like, isn't that amazing that there's a snare, there's a trap, and it will come not just in places, but on all of the earth. I wonder what the disciples were thinking. Like, is this going on in their day, or is it going on in 2020? Is it going on? Is it going on in our day, this snare, this trap? And Jesus is speaking. He says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest that at any time your heart be overcharged." And I never bring a cell phone to the pulpit. Now I regret it. But I brought it for a reason. I was just going to read from an account of what happens when a car battery is overcharged. That the opening statement that I read from a car specialist was that it leads to the death of the battery. It causes complications through the whole system of the car. It has the possibility of overheating, and then it swells, and then it has the ability to even explode and release gas at the slightest spark. And I think it's kind of a picture of what can happen today if our minds are not feeding on the Word of God. Like the media is powerful, it's like that spark. It feeds this energy that can build up in the soul to the extent that, you know, the slightest thing can ignite it. And before you know it, you're reacting in the emotions and not thinking with God. And it says here, watch, verse 36, therefore, and pray always, like pray always. You know, that's been a characteristic of this week, hasn't it, in this time, that there's been lots of prayer, lots of prayer meetings, lots of opportunities to be together and to pray. And the watching, like what does this mean, watch? I think one of the meanings of watch is to put your schedule in favor of God. It means that present your body, your face, face to face, a living sacrifice, like be together, come together, be encouraged, be built up, be watchful, have a renewed mind. There is a trap in listening to many voices, and it's a snare. And, you know, through the years, I was thinking, what has brought us to this place where we're still together and we're still standing and we're still going forward in the church here has not been defeated because Jesus Christ knows how to build his church and take care of his church. There are many ways to build the church, but only one right way, and it's him. He can build the church, and his words keep us. And his words, when he speaks to us, is life. And I was thinking about this. It's in a place I'd like to turn. It's in Proverbs chapter 21. And an illustration that Pastor Schaller gave really spoke during the time under the tent. But it says this, Proverbs 21, verse 20. Great word. It says, there is a treasure to be desired, and an oil in the dwelling of the wise. But the foolish man spends it up. And Pastor Schaller was telling this story about somebody that found a nugget of gold. It was the biggest nugget of gold ever discovered. And the nugget, if I remember right, around 4 feet wide and 2 feet this way, weighing hundreds of pounds, 100 and something pounds. It's in you know, I've had dreams about finding gold. And you know, this is, and it's so true. Like I had this like dream, it's happened many times in my early days, And I thought of, like, you know, I'm out there by this river and I'm throwing rocks and flipping them over and I'm in the wilderness and all of a sudden there's that one that's got that little yellow tinge to it. And it's it. It's the gold. And it's like, wow, wouldn't that be amazing? I love stories about finding gold. And you know what? I found gold. God brought me to a place where I heard a voice one day on telephone time. And it was the beginning of discovering gold. I had a friend at a paper company that I worked for. And I was sitting on a bench. I had a beer in my hand at work, long hair down to here, and he sat next to me and he invited me to church. I came to church. I heard the message, and I found gold. I found the treasure. The dream really did come true. It didn't come true the way that you might think about it. It came true in a much greater way. But back to the illustration of the guy that found this nugget of gold. It's interesting that the story, as I heard it, he sold it for like, what, $20,000? $20,000 for something this big, this heavy, that just a matter of ounces would have made the $20,000? Hello? Like, how valuable really was it? You mean that there was no recognizing how precious and valuable? And I thought, I remember going to Bible school. I sat in some seats like you're sitting in. And I said, I found more gold. I'm in a class. This is a treasure. Listen to these words. These words are leaping off the pages and going into my heart. I am gaining in treasure through the body, through the hearing of the word, through having, you know, simple foundation, church, pastor, teacher. Do you have a church that you call your church, that you're called to, and a pastor? You'd be surprised how many skip that, and they're going through different avenues. But I found treasure. I mean, I found the most, it's like you couldn't sell it. Like Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. You can't sell this. Its value is just, we're just beginning to recognize the value of what God has given us. And you go to a place like Istanbul, Turkey, and you talk to somebody, and the most simplest of conversation is like treasure. I was on the FaceTime with my translator and a young lady, young Turkish lady that wanted to speak with me that came to church this week. And we've been praying for her. And I said to her, I said, so how was church this morning? And after we talked about some other things, and all of a sudden she got kind of quiet and she said, I haven't changed yet. And she wanted me to know, I haven't changed yet. You don't know what that means. I can tell you a little bit about what that means. She means she hasn't changed from what she believes to what we believe. Okay? That there's a cost for that. There's a price to be paid. There's a persuasion that has to come from the Holy Spirit. And I said, it's okay. I says, have you ever noticed you can't change yourself? She says, that's true. I said, have you ever noticed that only God can make a change? She said, that's true. And I said, like five other things. She's going, that's true, that's true. And she's like, and you could see on her face, she was getting encouraged. And she says, well, when are you coming back to Turkey? I want to meet you. I said, we are praying in 3 weeks we should be there. But she's a treasure. Can you see it? Can you value it? What's the value of one soul? There's no price tag. One soul, one young lady. And I left her with this thought. I said, can you do this? Because, you know, it's such a beautiful story because she's with my translator, and I'm very happy about that, and there's a ministry there. I said, start talking to God, because in the Muslim mind, they don't talk to God. They don't have relationship. I said, you know what's important in life is that you have a relationship where you talk, and I noticed her face is like, she's sitting next to him, and her face is turning a little red, and she's like, yeah, that's true. And I said, it's that way with God. God will speak to you, and you can speak to him. It can happen. It's so real and so true. And those have been words that have been said many times in Turkey. I'm amazed, I'm astounded that we've been given so much, that this treasure in the dwelling of the wise, and the oil of the Holy Spirit is in us, and we recognize it. And we say, no, $20,000, $20 million is not enough. It's not to be sold. It's too valuable. We're getting introduced to things that have meaning in life, and we're learning, and we're getting handcrafted messages from our pastor. Wow. We're prepared for heaven. Wow, we are the bride of Jesus Christ. Wow, he is going to present his bride. How? Beautiful, spotless, without wrinkle, without blemish, without sin. And he is going to joy over his people. It's amazing that we can even be a part of this treasure, to have the value that we have received. We have, get this one, how about this, an identity in Christ. Is that a treasure? Have you ever been harassed in your soul about your identity, and then you come to church and you find out that God has thoughts toward you, that God has placed you as a new, he has brought you into the new creation, and what that means? That you've not only been washed clean, but you have an identity in Jesus Christ. Oh, it's just, it is enormous what has been poured out upon us. There's a treasure. And I'll close with this verse, because I gave this verse at my wedding. And Pastor Shala did communion with my wife and I on that day. And I had faced many trials and different kinds of troubles in my journey of faith. like we all have. Like God brings us into times of afflictions. God like tests us. He says to the Laodicean church, you know, you think you're rich, but you're not. But I counsel you to buy gold tried in the fire. God wants us to have treasure. And I was thinking of this after going through many things. Finished Bible school, and I thought, at one point in my life, it can't get much, other issues in life couldn't get much worse. Doesn't seem to fit the program of Bible school and God and everything being, you know, amazing, and all of a sudden, like, the details of life are far from amazing. And there was a season of difficulties. You know what? God placed people in my life. Pastor Palmer, and he would be at the back of this building. He'd pray with me. And then Pastor Hadley, he would come. He would pray with me. And Pastor Schaller would call from the mission field. I answer the phone. Hello, this is Pastor Schaller. I'm like, what? Where are you? I'm in Finland. I was just thinking of you. You're amazing. Wow. I just like, this is treasure. It's unspeakable. Now, here's the verse. Get this. This is really good. It's Psalm 55. I know it by heart, but I want to turn there. Psalm 55, verse 18, it says, He has delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many with me. Like, there are people that stand with us where we're in the church. There are people that God, you know, the body, that's what the body's for. People that will stand with you during those times. It's just, you know, I remember days where just walking in and just barely able to just walk in, and somebody would come up and pray or say a word, and it was enough. Those words were like treasure. They changed it. My soul was delivered from the battle that was against me over and over again. And how Satan hates us to experience this treasure. So what does he do? He wants us to be overcharged with those things of the world, the media, and all of the stuff that's out there can just build up in your soul to the point where you don't hear those voices anymore from heaven. The Holy Spirit's voices is just so hindered. But then we come here and we are so encouraged. God has filled us with so much. There's a lot of people in Turkey, 60 million plus, more than 20 million in one city. They know nothing of this treasure. Not even the treasure to be able to talk to God and hear from Him. What a treasure. And we're not even in heaven yet, and we've been given all this. It's so special. It's so beautiful. I'm so thankful for what God has done. He gave us Dr. Stevens, and then Dr. Stevens went home. He gave us Pastor Schaller. Pastor Schaller is our covering. He is a treasure to the body. The Bible says that the pastor is a gift to the body of Christ. What a gift. What a treasure. And he's receiving handcrafted messages for the very hour and the very moment. Amen? Amen.
Good. Wasn't that good? Word. Do you want to talk about it for a minute? I don't know what, right now, we don't have a special song, so it'd be my turn to share something. I'm going to do that, but I don't want to do it right now. I got an attitude. Are you good? Are you ready to roll? How about, that message was amazing, wasn't it? I mean, that was it. That's it. That's amazing. Okay, you are dismissed. No, I mean, it was good, wasn't it? It was amazing. Thank you, Pastor. Excellent. All right, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. Would you like to stand? Oh, Pastor Harry, good to see you. And Pat, wow, amazing. Okay, how about with a prayer with your neighbor? Would you like to just stand and then have a prayer with your neighbor for a moment and maybe something in your heart to pray for? Lord Jesus, you could heal anyone on this earth tonight. You could heal somebody. Answer prayer from the heart. You can send laborers into the fields. You can lead our church in prayer for this whole season that we are living in. Lead us in spiritual fellowship and in prayers for our country, for our mission, for churches, for new believers. Break up the fallow ground, Lord. Break up the fallow ground and plant and sow and turn the soil over and stir us up. And thank you for that message, traps and treasures, which are we living in? What will happen to us? Will we be ensnared or will we be free worshipers with gold? Yeah, thank you, Lord. Bless this year, we pray. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. I think to say a couple of different things tonight, just as a ministry, I want to just say how much I appreciate the body through the week, and also what I see going on in the spirit with people. As Roger mentioned, the woman in Turkey who is receiving a ministry. If you receive a ministry, then your life changes. Your life changes little by little, but you receive a ministry. By the way, I know that people are online watching, and I appreciate it. Every listener and every attitude of faith, I appreciate very much. But I also know from experience, it's just not the same. I'm easily distracted at home. I take trips to the refrigerator. You know, I'm multitasking and so on. But when I'm here, there's great concentration, and we set this apart, and it is a blessing. The first thing I want to say, it has to do with John MacArthur in California and his church services. With an auditorium, I think, of 3,500 people packed out when the state of California says, you can't do that. You can't have church services. But he has two of them. 6,000 or 7,000 people come. He is actually disobeying the authorities. So I want to share a little bit on that. That'll be so profound, we won't get to the other part of the message, I think. Turn to Romans 13 with me. And John MacArthur is an evangelical man of God, determined, focused in his ministry of the word. And I'm not parsing words or principles. It's not my point. My point is I believe he's doing the right thing. And I want to explain to you why. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. So we have a person, a citizen, or a group of them. This is a little diagram for you. We have God, and we are to obey God. Acts 4, is it 29? 29. Judge, is it better for us to obey God or man? But in our government, in our society, we have earthly government, and we are to be obedient to them. We are to be subject to them. It says that in chapter 13, verse 1. Every soul be subject unto the higher powers. These are earthly powers. President, governor, mayor, etc. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. That is generally how we think as believers, that the authorities that are in power are there for our protection, our security, for our well-being. They are to be good. The power is to be good. That's the principle. But in history, we know that the powers are not always good. Communism is one example. Though I do think they could be good in one way, in some measure, but their ideology is wrong, atheistic materialism. But many Christians live in communist countries. Many Christians live in Hindu countries and Buddhist countries and other countries that embrace other ideologies and religions that are different from us. So are we to be obedient to them as much as we possibly can be? Yes. As much as we can be. Are they good? We hope so. But they may not be. So go to verse 2. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God. I think the Roman Empire, Paul is living in the context of a Caesar, a ruler, a magistrate, governors. Pontius Pilate was the one overseeing the crucifixion of Christ. A good example. We are subject to them. We are subject to those powers. Because we don't have a spirit of rebellion. We don't have a spirit of hatred. We don't have a spirit of anarchy. We have the spirit of God. And we look for obeying. We look for the authority to be obedient to and subject to. And we happily do it because when you are subject to God, He fills you with the Spirit, and now you have a ministry. You have a ministry because you have love, because you have faith, because you build, because you minister. This is good. This is why many times in these countries, they do not shut down the Christians, because Christians are good citizens. They are people that pray for the government. They are people that are obedient. They are people that pay their taxes. And they are good, like Christian people. You know that Saddam Hussein in Iraq, as a dictator, his bodyguards were Christians because he didn't trust the Muslims. Yeah. Well, maybe he overrated us. But it is true. We have a good reputation and a good history of this. But let's go to the text a little more and go into this subject a little bit more. It says, verse 2, whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. It is like a earthly judgment for our rebellion. You may end up in jail or prison or killed or something like this for resisting the authorities. That could happen. Verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Rulers are not a terror to good works. I wish we could spend time on that text. Rulers are not a terror to good works, and I'll add, good people. Rulers should like good people and good works. What are good works? YMCA, faith works, food banks, soup kitchens, churches, schools. These are good works. Rulers are to recognize the good works that are in our society, and they are not a terror to the good works. What if the government is a terror to the good works? Were the Nazis in Germany a terror to good works? They were. They were a terror. They were not a good government. They were an evil government. They were proud. They were racist. They were bigots. They were narrow-minded. They were murderers. They were killers. They would send the Gestapo. Pastors were arrested in the night, murdered in the morning. Jews by the millions, as we know. They were a terror to good people. That government was a terror to good people. And it's happened with communist revolutions, that people that are in authority are also the people that could hurt good people. If they hurt good people, there's something not right. It's not correct. So it happened in the book of Acts in chapter 4 with Peter. And he said to the authorities, they said, stop talking about Jesus. Stop preaching about Jesus. Stop it. And Peter basically, well, we can read it. Whether we should obey God or man, you judge. You judge. Meaning, we're not rebellious, but we cannot obey you. If you contradict God, watch. If this government is contradicting God, in essence, and I am subject to this government, then I will have to agree with God, and I will have to disobey them. And that is called, you know, in our terminology, civil disobedience. We will not obey. Will we be humble? Yes. Will we ask God to help us? Yes. But it may be we will not obey. This is something for you to digest. You've got some months, maybe years, to digest it. But it may be knocking on our door one day. Actually, it already is here. But we are being treated fairly, in my opinion. We are meeting. We are meeting because we are Christians. We are meeting because we believe. We are meeting because we have this in our tradition. This is our habit. This is our form of worship. We are worshiping God. Remember when Pharaoh said to the Jews, what are you doing talking about going out and worshiping God? Who is God? I know not God. Exodus 5, verse 2. Well, just for your way of thinking, you're going to have to work harder. You know the story. The God of this world is against the church. And listen to me. This government, which we are praying for and respecting, can also do evil things. You want some examples? Black Lives Matter. Why don't we add a word? Black babies' lives matter. The black babies' lives matter. Yes. Everybody, yes. Yeah, you know, I'm not trying to push any buttons here in terms of provoking a political discussion or provoking any kind of like reaction emotionally, because Pastor Rogers said something great, which was, there's a time when we could be overcharged in our emotions and in our talking and in our thinking, and almost get to the point of exploding. But we, by God's grace, we have found another way. But I do say this because civil disobedience is being practiced by John MacArthur, who's an 81-year-old pastor in California, who is very effective in his ministry and touching the lives of people with thousands of people, and they are meeting without masks. They are meeting, and he speaks straight up about it, and that's how they're functioning. And the governor says, no, you can't. And he says, we are. And if it came to him being arrested or fined, I guess the fine could be $1,000 a day for every day you are disobeying that ordinance. It's a lot of money. And then the pastor being in jail. What? What? Where are we? What is going on? I'm just saying, I'm just dramatizing it. A little bit, maybe. But I'm having fun doing it. Let's finish the text. Chapter 13, verse 3. But the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will you then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and you shall have praise of the same. It would be great if the government would praise us for our good works, if the authorities would say, thank you for the church, thank you for being on the street, thank you for helping the kids get off of drugs, thank you for your recovery program, thank you for your efforts, thank you, please bring Jesus everywhere you can. That would be great to hear. We don't have to have it in order to do what we do. Guys, we are doing what we do because Jesus said to do it. But at the same time, it would be nice if it wasn't resisted. And it isn't. It isn't resisted. Tonight, it isn't. And I hope it never will be. But what is going on out there? In that world out there, what is going on, and how will the church manage in this time? How will we navigate? Wait a minute, Pastor, have churches closed? Yeah. 5 months, 6 months shut down, no services, churches closed. How many years will that go on for, or months? What will happen? What is going on? And what about the people? And what about the message? And what about the purpose? No, we got a pandemic going on, and I'm not denying it. But the possibility of dying from it is like 0.1%. 0.1, isn't it? 0.1, and it's going down all the time. So that's all. Okay, wait a minute. Verse 4, we'll finish. It says, I hope. Here we go. I don't hope, I just... Okay, verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Oh, there's the key. If the government is the minister of God for good. But what if the government told me to kill a house full of Jewish people? Is that a ministry of good? What if not only it's an order, but it's coming from an ideology that is twisted and wrong and evil? Are you going to obey? Are you going to obey? I must obey God than man. Are you going to become part of the whole thing? that whole thing that goes in a direction and you find to wake up one day and say, what happened? What happened? It can't happen. You got to be an individual. Remember individuality in American society? Remember your own decision? Remember the word conscience? Remember what it meant, like loyalty, trust, goodness, honesty, transparency? How about the word tolerance? Remember that word, tolerance? Like differences of opinions and ideas? Wow. What is going on? We are the church that cannot be defeated, though we're not quite perfect yet. But that's it. That's amazing. But yeah. So when we have a treasure, and may I just want to make a little correction on that. The nugget was, I think, 2 feet by 150 pounds, but I think there was a bigger one found. It was worth $2 or $3 million. He sold it. The two guys that found it sold, I mean, in today's currency, my son Kyle and I kind of looked at it last night and talked about it, but they sold it way under the price. I mean, it's worth $2 or $3 million, and they sold it for $9,000 and something. And Pastor Rogers' point was, when you find gold, you should know what you found. When you found Christ, you should know what you found. When you found a fellowship in Christ, then you should know and recognize what it means. When you find truth in your heart, you find that freedom. It's like you smell the barbecue. You go, whoa, what, where is that? Which neighbor? I mean, that even, I'm just going to go back, park my car, and just smell it, and then drive away. I mean, it is so good. I remember what it was. I know what it is, and that's the way we are living our life. That's why it's hard to cancel a convention. It'll just bounce back and come back, and we'll have our fellowship. We have a convention, you know, that's the idea. Okay, go to verse 4 again. Okay, it goes like this. But he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid. For he bears not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger. Do you know who practiced civil disobedience? Martin Luther King Jr. And he said to the marchers, and by the way, you could not get in his group at that time when they were marching down South Alabama and those Birmingham and those areas, unless you were making a pledge that you will not react. When you get punched in the face, you cannot punch back. If you get bit by a dog, you just got to bear it. If you go to jail, you just got to take it. You got to sit in the jail, and you cannot curse or swear. You got to be a Christian when you disobey. That was his rules. That's not the rules of the game today, by the way, out on the street. That's not what they are teaching in these movements and this anarchy and everything out there. It is evil. It's not of God. But Martin Luther King Jr., who made this effort to make a statement, and he did a great job in many ways, is like called civil disobedience. And it's in your Bible. And it's part of our life and our way of thinking. And it might happen. And don't get angry with us, each other, about it. Let's just get deep with God and realize that maybe we're going to have to find ourselves in some trouble someday and say, this is where I stand. And many history is changed by these kind of people. Simple, common people. Remember Harriet Tubman, the Underground Railroad, up into my part of the woods, up in New York State. This little woman who was a slave, she just got she's a little feisty fireball, and she got black slaves out of the South in the Underground Railroad. These kind of people that make a difference because they got something going on in the Holy Spirit. And they say, you cannot walk on me. I've got to walk before God. And yeah, you can walk like Jesus was crucified. But he was submitted because he was crucified, because it was the Father's will. He was obeying the Father. Was he obeying Pontius Pilate? He was subject to Pontius Pilate because it was the Father's will. But it was also time when he just walked through the crowd because it wasn't the right time. And I'm just saying, I'm excited. I'm optimistic. I'm believing. I don't know where the churches are going to be when they're shut down for 5 or 6 months, and when that one day the government says you cannot meet because you don't believe in gay marriage, or because of this or that or this reason, or because your school and all of these kind of ideas. I'm not being specific. I'm just trying to say something, and that is I don't worry about it, but I believe. It might be one day. It might be that we're in some trouble. And it might be that we got to know in our hearts, and we got to believe in what we believe and stand in what we believe. And that's the way it'll be. And it might be, and it's okay, because it's so good when you found that nugget and you know what it's worth. And you just say, you know, in your heart, this is worth a lot to me. The trial of our faith is more precious than gold that perishes. And when we have found it, we build on the foundation with gold and silver and precious. And I just wanted to quote that from Pastor Bruce Moon the other day and finish here. He said, Pastor Bruce Moon said, there's gold, silver, precious jewels in 1 Corinthians 3. And then there's wood, hay, and stubble. And he said, the wood, hay, and stubble is all like on the top of the ground. But the gold, silver, and precious stones are down, and you got to dig. When you're going to build something that's going to stand, you can't use the stuff on the surface. You got to dig, and you got to go down and try to find it. And it's going to cost you something. Some broken fingernails, broken shovel, some sweat in the brow, some work, some pain. You're going to dig, and you got to get good stuff to build. But if you take the cheap stuff, you know, the stuff you buy at Walmart and Target, you build with your reputation, you build with the cheap stuff. Yeah, you know, you're building with things that are going to pass away. Maybe your education, which is not a bad thing, it's a good thing, but it's not enough to build. There has to be something more than just my diploma. There has to be some character. There has to be some fiber. There has to be some gold and silver and precious stones in our hearts. And when we found it and we find it, then we will not be overcharged, but we'll be at peace. So that's what he said. Okay. Wow, pretty good stuff. Amen. Jesus, we thank you tonight for the men of God that have done what they've done, not in rebellion, but out of love. They've stood against kings in Europe and popes and bishops and persecutors and Muslims, and they have stood in front of their boss at work or on a university campus somewhere. They stood with something in their hearts. They were just godly people with truth deep in their spirit. And they said, I cannot deny it. I have to stand with what I believe, what I have seen, what I embrace, what I have heard. I've smelled the barbecue. I know what it is. I know what it is, and that's where I am. And that's who we are, and we thank you for it. We pray for Pastor Bruce Moon and Robin in their mission in Mexico. We pray for Rhonda Lewis, and pray for Brandon and Ammon and the baby in Florida, and Valerie and Pastor Bill. Pray for the Miami, Chris McFarland, and Chuck Brookie, and Tampa, and our brother Don Barnes. And Don Barnes' messages I've heard are awesome on the internet. You can listen to them. as our brother out there in Indiana. We've had a great time, Lord. In Jesus' name. And then anyone here not a believer hearing my voice, come to Jesus by faith, please. Talk to him. Talk to him. Believe in him and trust in him. He will save you tonight, immediately. Immediately. By faith in him, you are saved. In Jesus' name, amen.